to me. And thank the Lord for everyone that's here today. We want to turn to James, the 5th chapter, and I want to begin at the 16th verse. We're going to talk about effectual prayer. We've dealt with this subject on various occasions, and the Lord gave us last Sunday. We were able to deal with prayer as a weapon. And I thought about an incident that I had not too long ago. I was in Oklahoma, and we had a little downtime. We were there for a meeting, and we had a little downtime. One of the brothers wanted to take us out to the back of his place and do some skeet shooting. And so they had this little disc that you set off with a little mechanism, and you set it off, and then you take a gun and you shoot it. It's kind of like a target practice. And the first few times that you do it, you're not so good at it, and then you kind of get the hang of it. You kind of know exactly how it's going to fall, and you do it several different ways and try to mimic the flight of a animal, a bird or something. And pretty soon you get the hang of it and you can pretty much hit the target. But it takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of knowing how the gun works. And when we take into consideration prayer, we don't want to just shoot blanks. We don't want to just be shooting up in the air. We want to hit the target that we're shooting at. And so it gives us, the scriptures that we read gives us some indication that sometimes we can just shoot blanks. We're just praying, and the Lord tells us don't pray like the heathens. They do a lot of repeating and whatnot, he said. But no, there is an effectual prayer. There is a prayer that gets the effect of what you're seeking for. And this gives us a basic background or a basic understanding in some ways of how to get to the point that our prayers are more effective. I'm not going to say that anybody's prayers, I believe anybody that is praying, there is an effect of the prayer that the prayer has. But I believe that we can have a more effectual prayer, and I believe that that's what the Lord wants us to have. So let's start at the 16th verse of the 5th chapter of James.
Confess your faults.
Confess your faults.
One to another.
Let's go, I'm sorry, I wanted to go up. Let's go to the 13th chapter. 13th verse, I'm sorry, 13th verse. Is any among you afflicted?
Let him pray.
Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So it tells us here, if you're afflicted, you pray. If you're merry, you sing psalms.
Is any sick among you?
Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. All right, that's good enough. So he brings out here, Elias was a man subject to like passions as you and I are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, that's an effectual prayer. I don't know that any of us can say that we've been in a situation that we needed to pray for it not to rain. We were in a situation last summer that we were praying for rain, and the Lord brought us rain. And we realize how difficult it is when there isn't rain. There is things that happen that it puts us in jeopardy, doesn't it? But here is a situation that says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the first thing that we have to understand is that we must confess our faults. There are things about us, there are deficiencies about all of us. There's no one here that doesn't have them. And there are times that we need to come to the place of understanding that the Lord is trying to get something over to me. Some of the things that are happening in our lives, the Lord is bringing these things about our character and about who we are and what we are and what we think we are, how we see ourselves, and, you know, how we see ourselves may be completely different than how somebody else sees us. And how they see us may be completely different than how God sees us. What we want to see is, Lord, how are you looking at this situation? How are you looking at this defect in my character, you might say? So it says, confess your faults. When the Lord brings something to our mind, and it often is brought to about in relationships. We have the close relationships that we have. Have you ever noticed that those are the people that seem to agree against you the wrong way? Because there is something about you and there's something about them that the Lord wants to bring about a greater perfection. There is a perfecting in the life of salvation. The Lord didn't want you just to get saved and you be the same way all the rest of your life. There is a perfection of your character that the Lord brings about in our lives that we become more like Him. How does that happen? But that the Lord brings the heat and puts us in the furnace. He brings the heat and the dross begins to bubble up. And when we see that, what we need to do is be honest with ourselves that when we're in the midst of the trial and we don't speak like we need to speak, or we don't have the kind of patience that we need to have, do you know what our responsibility is to do? Our responsibility is to confess it. Not stand up in the church and tell everybody that this is what, not necessarily, that this is what I'm having a problem with. I need a little bit more patience. I need a little bit more love. And this person, I don't love them like I should because of some of the things that they've done. We need to confess those things to the Lord. We need to confess them one to another. Maybe in a private setting, somebody that you know can pray for you and somebody that will have your interest at heart, our responsibility to say, you know what, I don't have the level of grace that I need for this particular situation. And so what we have to do is be honest with ourselves. We go to the Lord, we go to someone and we say, listen, I need to be healed of this situation because the Lord has allowed the trial and the test that I'm in right now to squeeze me and to bring me to a place that I see that I have a need. It's my fault. It's not their fault because they're doing the things that they're doing to me. I'm the one that have a fault. There is something about me that the Lord wants to perfect, and I've got to be honest enough to make a confession to that the Lord is talking to me in this situation regarding you and me. The Lord's dealing with me about this, and I want to make a confession that I need the Lord to give me the love that I need for your husband, your wife, your friend, your brother, your sister, whatever it is. I need the Lord to help me in those kinds of places. So that is one of the things that I believe that we have to have a clear understanding of, that we've got to make a confession of the things that's wrong with us. Now, one of the things that I've learned in my years of living and in my years of dealing with people is it's very difficult in many instances to get people to look at themselves honestly. Most people want to blame somebody else for their problems. Talked a little bit about that in Sunday school today. Well, the reason I'm like I am is because I was abused when I was a child, people say. And my parents didn't treat me right, and things didn't go right when I was a child. Do you know every single person in here had issues when they were a child? We've all been through something that was quite traumatic, and something that has helped to shape us, and something that has helped to define some of the faults that we've had, that we have currently right now. But what happens when I get to the age of accountability? What happens when my parents, I'm no longer under my parents' roof, and I'm no longer, they're no longer responsible for me, and now I have to come face to face with the issues of the past and how I'm going to deal with the issues of the past. And so what I have to do is I've got to say I'm not going to blame everything on mama and daddy and on what happened when I was in grade school or the bullies in my class and how they affected my self-esteem. Now I have the responsibility to go to God and ask God, Lord, you heal me. I need healing in this particular area of my life. Yes, I was abused. Yes, this happened to me. Yes, the folks bullied me. But now, Lord, I realize and I understand that there is something that you're trying to perfect in me. So I'm going to confess, yes, I have these problems. And when I confess that I have these problems, what do? We pray one for another that we may be healed. And do you realize that the Lord wants to heal all of us of the emotional scars that we had in our past? And some that have been inflicted on us now, then let me tell you, when we come to the place, and I believe this is very important for us to understand, because what happens is it affects how some people look at God Himself. So it says here, pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults one to another and pray. So we're talking about effectual prayer. So one of the things that causes our prayers to be more effectual is that we have to have a level of honesty, right? I've got to be honest with myself as to who I am, where I am, what I'm dealing with. I've got to be honest about my own faults. All right? I can't blame it on my wife. I can't blame it on me. I've got to be honest with my own faults, my own shortcomings. And once I'm honest about my own shortcomings, I say I'm going to confess those, because we really won't confess them unless we're honest about it. It'll be somebody else's fault as to why I'm going through what I'm going through. But let me tell you, what we're talking about here is effectual prayer. This is in the same scripture that the Lord is saying, confess your faults one to another. Be honest about where you are. Be honest about where you are with the Lord and with your fellow man. And then you need to realize, come to the point of understanding that I need help. All right? Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. All right? And we realize that we need healing. There is nobody here that doesn't need healing of something. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about there is no one here that has not at some point in their experience, I'm going to put it that way, needed some type of healing. All right? So when we come to the point of making that confession, then we come to the point that we can get the help that we need to be healed. So, this is an effect to make our prayers more effective. That we're not just shooting blanks. That there's not just something that is that I'm having to ride over. All right. Let me turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I want to read starting at the first verse here. Judge not, that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged again. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You are a hypocrite, he says. This is who's speaking. This is Jesus speaking. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Do you know what we tend to have a propensity to do is to look at somebody else and look at their faults, and we have a tendency to magnify what their faults are, because generally speaking, their faults are affecting us in some kind of a way, aren't they? But it says, confess your own faults. It didn't say for me to go around confessing yours. It says for me to confess my own faults. And he said, listen, you are so concerned about the little splinter that is in your brother's eye, and you've got a big stick in your own. So he says, first you do this. You take the time and the effort to cast the mote out of your own eye. And you put forth the effort to cast the mote out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to be able to help your brother. Cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Now, you know why I believe the Lord says that? Because I think that what happens is, when we come to the point of seeing how difficult it is to receive the level of healing that we need with the problem that we have and the fault that we have, when we see the difficulty and how we need the power and the grace of God to be able to overcome them, and we do need the grace of God to be able to overcome them, when we see that we have to put forth the effort and we have to pray and we have to come to some point, sometimes points of humiliation, do you know what we're going to do? The magnification that we have of our brother's fault are going to begin to diminish, and we're going to have some compassion on our brother. and we're going to begin to pray for them, and we're going to have some empathy and sympathy for them, and realize, listen, I know it's not going to be easy for you to do it, but by the grace of God, you have to do it. So now that happens first after I've dealt with myself, after I made the confession. Now again, we're talking about praying, aren't we? We're talking about coming to a place of being able to pray a prayer that is effectual, that actually hits the target, that actually brings about the desired result that we're doing. If we're not honest with ourselves, we're not honest with God, we're wanting to blame somebody else, then our prayers are not going to have the effect that God wants them to have, and they're not going to hit their target. All right? But it says that Elijah was a man of like passion. He had the same kind of temptations that you and I have, and Elijah had faults. Elijah was a man. If you read about Elijah's life, Elijah could get discouraged and disappointed and depressed pretty easy, just like us. Do you know, I believe the Lord had to deal with Elijah. He said, Elijah, why are you here? Why are you depressed? When he went to the cave, he said, why are you here? I'm the one that's brought you here. I'm the one that's done all these things for you. He's a man of like passion as you and I are, but he had to deal with his own shortcomings. And he had to ask the Lord to help him in his shortcomings. All right, let's go a little further here. I want us to read. Let's see. I want us to read 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Then I want to come back to 1 Peter 3, verse 7.
Likewise,
ye husbands.
Dwell with them according to knowledge.
It's talking about dwelling with your wives according to knowledge.
Giving honor
unto the wife,
as unto the weaker vessel,
as being heirs together
of the grace of life.
All right, now let's read that again. Likewise, ye husbands, you dwell with your wife according to knowledge,
giving honor
unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel,
and
as being heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. Now, what does that mean here? Now, maybe there's some, he's talking to husbands here, but he's giving instructions to everybody. And this is for our reproof, for our correction, for our instruction in righteousness. So it's not just talking about husbands, it's talking about a principle, a relational principle here, that I think that the Lord wants us to get a hold of. He says, so you dwell with the person that you're in, whatever relationship that you're in, a friend, a brother, sister, parents, husband, wife. It could be any kind of relationship that you have. You dwell with them according to knowledge. Because how you respond to people and how you deal with people will affect your prayers. You hear what I'm saying? Hear what the scripture is saying? It says, in other words, it bringing it in a situation with, again, we're talking about praying that we want effectual prayer. We want a prayer that's going to hit the target. We want prayer that when we pray, it goes right to the point and it's not hindered. So there is something that has the ability to hinder our prayers, isn't it? And it's how I respond, how I deal with those people that the Lord has put in my pathway. Those people that are close to me, those people that are not close to me. So I believe the principle not only goes in a close relationship, but it goes in how you treat your boss, how you treat those on the periphery of your life. So the Lord is telling us here that your prayers can be hindered by the way you respond to people. All right? So again, if you're a person that has a sharp personality, and maybe there's some harshness about you, how you respond to folks, you know, is going to affect those people. And how those people respond to you is going to affect you. All right? So if I was very rude to somebody, let's just say it like this. I was rude to somebody and I went up to them and I said whatever first came to my mind about it, and it was the truth anyway, and I told them the truth, and it affected them, right? And so now they're responding to me differently. They're a little cold, a little standoffish to me because I just simply told them the truth. All right? And now, because they're standoffish to me, it's going to affect me too, right? And how I relate to them. Well, let them. You ain't got to be my friend. I ain't got nothing against you, but you ain't got to be my friend. You act to me like that, we do that as human beings, don't we? And so when we go to the Lord, and the Lord tells us, why are you considering the mote that's in your brother's eye and not the beam that's in your own eye? There's something about you that you started with. You've got to correct where you started, what you started.
and you're upset at him, and now you're praying to me for all these things that you need, and I'm not hearing you because I keep seeing what's between you and your brother. Lord, help us.
Now, I'm not saying that there sometimes is not things that you do. I've been in situations, and no doubt all of us have been in situations where we have tried to respond and mend what we may have done against someone else, and they're not ready for it yet. So you know what our responsibility is to do? Our responsibility is to give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done what I believe you require me to do to make amends and to set this thing right. I've gone to my brother. I've asked him to forgive me or whatever, and he just won't do it. So what do I do? She says, treat him with love. Pray for him. But you don't want your prayer to be hindered. Alright? Alright, let's go a little further. We're still talking about effectual prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Let's read that. After this manner therefore pray you. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt. So what does it say? Forgive part of the Lord's Prayer. How do we pray more effectually? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us, Lord, of our faults. Forgive us of the things that we are indebted. What does the scripture say? Oh, no man, anything but to love. So I have to love folks, no matter what they do or what they say to me. Lord, help me to do it. And that is not necessarily easy for us when people spit in our face, so to speak. Or when they talk about us behind our back. All of us have been in places like that where somebody said something that's not very nice about us. And it's affected us in a negative way. We got to love them anyway. All right? So it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go to Mark 11:25 and start reading that in conjunction with this. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, what do? You forgive. Well, you know what that happened when I was in. And I'll never forget what they did to me, what they said. Well, when you pray, these are things that your prayer be not hindered. You want effectual, it says effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It avails something. So what we have to understand is that we can do things. Whether knowledgeable or not, that hinders our prayers. And one of the things that we have to do in order to have that clear line of communication with the Lord, we have to live in a spirit of forgiveness. We can't hold things against one another and against our brothers and against our enemies even. He says, love our enemies. And so these are things that in order for us to have effectual prayers, we're going to have to realize that there are things that the enemy would put in our way that would literally hinder us being able to get the prayers through that we want to get through. Have you ever been in a situation where, I'll put it this way, as a minister, as a pastor, you've got to keep things clear because you don't know when you're going to get a call in a life and death situation that somebody needs you to be able to touch the throne of God. You don't need hindrances. So you don't have a lot of opportunity, and it shouldn't be just for those that are ministers or pastors or those that are in leadership positions. It should be the same situation with the church. To realize that you're holding something against somebody, and then when you go down to prayer, you really can't pray because there's something that you keep bumping up against. And you don't feel quite right in your own spirit because of your attitude. You got a wrong attitude about how you handled or how somebody handled you. It's time to go to prayer. It's time for us to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to remove my bad attitude. Because the very next moment, it may be that somebody is calling, and it may be somebody that you're related to, or it may be somebody, it may be you that is in that kind of condition. That you need to be able to get in touch with the Lord now, and I don't need these things getting in my way. That your prayers be not hindered. So the way that you respond, the way that you handle the things that God has shown you, the way that you handle your brother, the way that you handle relationships, the way that you handle all these things, whether or not you're able to forgive somebody, that means somebody has done something against you that has personally hurt you. I don't think there's anybody here of any age that cannot say, that can say that I've never been hurt in my life. I've never had an offense in my life. So, you know what I've heard this said by, I don't know, brother, my wife's grandfather maybe, that the Lord didn't save you for people to treat you right. You get that? The Lord did not save you for people to treat you right. He saved you for you to treat people right. He's not going to come up and say, well, you know what, you can go to heaven with that. I don't blame you. I don't blame your attitude. I know you got a bad attitude, and you just kind of cut them folks out. I understand that because they got on my nerves too. He ain't gonna say, and so come on, my grace wasn't sufficient for you. He's not gonna say that. He said, my grace is sufficient. I knew they were gonna do it. I wanted them to do it. I want you to understand me when I say that. I allowed them to do it. Let's put it that way. That sounds better. Not necessarily that he wanted them to do it. He wanted all men to live right. But I allowed them to do it against you, and I knew it was going to have the effect that it had on you because I wanted to put you in a little pot, and I wanted to see my image in you, and I wanted it to boil and heat up and heat up, and it seemed like it just got worse and worse and worse. And instead of you allowing that dross to be raked off the top, you just let it bubble and you kind of stirred it all back in there. Not going to work, is it? That your prayers be not hindered. All right. Let's go a little further here. Yes, did you finish it? All right. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. The Father which is in heaven shall also forgive you your trespasses. So we have that responsibility, don't we?
But if you do not forgive.
Now what happens if I don't? That's a very serious thing, isn't it? I want the Lord to forgive me of the things that I trespassed against Him for. But if I cannot forgive my brother, do you suppose that my prayer for forgiveness from the Lord is going to be hindered? When I go and I want this spiritual healing that I'm seeking the Lord for, but I can't forgive my brother. It's like a splinter in somebody's hand. They won't take the splinter out and it keeps festering. Our responsibility is to have an effectual prayer is to forgive. All right. Let's go to Elijah's prayer. Let's go to 1 Kings 17, verse 1. It said Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, yet he prayed that it might not rain. Elijah the Tishbite
was of the inhabitants of Gilead,
said unto Ahab,
as the Lord God of Israel liveth,
before whom I stand,
there shall not be dew nor rain
these years, but according to my words.
And the word of the Lord
came unto him, saying,
Get thee hence,
turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So he's coming to Ahab, and he's saying to Ahab, listen, it's not going to rain. So this man was a righteous man. So one of the requirements is, it says, there has to be effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So one of our responsibilities is to be righteous. I have to be a righteous man. I have to be living right. So in order for us to have prayers that are effective, it has something to do with what kind of a person I am, what kind of a person you are. And so a righteous man is a man that looks at things in the right way, and he looks at things in an honest way. And so this is why it's very important for us to be able to forgive. The only way for us to be righteous is what? How? How can we be righteous? The Lord has forgiven us. The way, only way for me and you to live a righteous life is for the Lord to forgive us. So it is our responsibility to forgive our brother if we are wanting forgiveness from the Lord. So in order for me to be a righteous man, I have to live in a spirit of forgiveness. I have to forgive. There's no way for me to do anything other than forgive. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to do something. And in order for me to maintain my righteousness, the righteousness of God, that's part of it. All right? You following me so far? All right, let's go to the... So it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. And let's go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and the first verse. I want to read the first verse, and then I want to drop down to the 42nd verse. Yes. Yes. 1. Came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria. All right, that's good enough. There was a sore famine, and why was there a sore famine? Was simply because there had been no rain. We realize that we are so dependent on little bitty things, and this we're dependent on water. And the only reason that there wasn't water is because a man of God, a righteous man of God, prayed, and the Lord honored his prayer. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we had that kind of a relationship with the Lord? We can have it. And he tells us that Elijah was no different than you or me. And if he could pray that prayer, you can too. It's attainable. Sometimes I feel like the Lord's showing me that sometimes all of us come to places in our experience that we feel like it's not attainable for us to get to that level that the Lord wants us to have. But it's attainable. He was a man of like passions like you and me, and yet he prayed. All right, let's drop down to the 42nd verse.
So Ahab went up to eat and drink in the
Yes. It's 41st verse. Start at the 41st.
Elijah said unto Ahab, yes.
Get thee up, eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain. But it wasn't no rain yet. But this man had faith in the Lord to believe that if the Lord told him this, the Lord was going to back up what he said. He had backed up the 3.5 years of no rain. He'd supplied Elijah's need. And now the Lord is telling Elijah, I want you to go to Ahab because what my purpose in bringing about this is complete. All right, now read. Ahab went up, eat and drink. Elijah went to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked. And he said, There's nothing. He said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. All right, so here he is. I want us to get a hold of the fact that Elijah, he went up to his little secret closet, you might say, the Mount Carmel. And he threw himself cast himself down on the earth, put his face between his knees, and he began to pray. He began to pray an effectual prayer that hit the target. Now, the Lord told him to go up and do it, but why did the Lord just say, I'm going to do it? But why did he have to go and pray? Why did Elijah have to go and pray when the Lord already told him that he wanted to do it? Do you know the Lord will tell us that he'll do certain things, but it is still our responsibility to pray that the Lord, thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The Lord will. The Lord has a will in this, but there's still something about how He says in the prayer, the Lord's prayer, He says, I still want you to pray that my will be done in the earth. That you'll remove, that the Lord will remove all hindrances, and that the will of God will be done right here on the earth. Do you know that that's your responsibility? That's my responsibility. It's not the responsibility of those in leadership in the church. It's the responsibility of every person in the church to live a life that they can pray, Lord, we want your will to be done about this situation. Lord, here is the situation here that you told me that it is your will that there that reigns, and you told me to come up here and pray, and I'm going to pray until you give me something that I can hold on to. And this is what happened with Elijah. Elijah didn't just start praying the first time and the second time, but he said he prayed seven times. They went out and he sent him out the third time, fourth time, fifth time, and still, what if he just stopped there and said, Lord, I'm getting a little bit discouraged. It doesn't seem like what you said you were going to do, you were going to do. But no, when he said, keep praying until the answer comes. Saints, that's what effectual prayer is. And I believe what the Lord wants you and I to understand is that we can be more effective in our prayer life. We just got to be persistent, and we've got to pray without ceasing, and the Lord will do something for us. And what did he do? He said, go again. This is the sixth time. Nothing. Come back. Nothing. He goes back to prayer. A man just like you and me that gets tired, that falls asleep when he's praying. A man that has whatever issues that he has the same issues that you and I have, but he's an effectual, fervent, righteous man. And may the Lord help us to be just like him. Lord, help us to know that we can attain that kind, that level of prayer life. All right? So he goes to prayer again. And when, I don't know, maybe the Lord was dealing with Elijah about something. Maybe there was something in Elijah that while Elijah was praying, Elijah was not only praying for the Lord to do it, but for Elijah's own spirit to be in harmony with what God's will was. These folks had done some things against Elijah. Elijah could have had some issues and some attitude. Lord, get them, Lord, get them. You ever felt like that? Get them. Maybe the Lord was talking to Elijah and saying, Elijah, you can't have that kind of attitude. I'm the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayer the first time because there's something that is hindering that prayer, that man, that righteous man. The Lord wants to open his understanding and show him that there is a little speck of something there that's not, that I can't work over, that I'm not willing to work over. And so in the course of this prayer, Elijah's will began to be more in line and in tune with God. And maybe whatever that little part of Elijah that he was holding back, the Lord was beginning to say, Elijah, I'm talking to you now. Now, maybe Elijah, have you ever prayed for something and you begin, after a while, the Lord's not giving to you, what do you start doing? Inspection. Search me, Lord. Lord, what is it about? See if there be something about me that is hindering you being able to answer this prayer. Do you suppose that the Lord's power is any less today than it was when he was here on the earth? When all the miracles were being done by the church, do you suppose the Lord's power is any less today than it was then? No. What's the problem then? Maybe there's something about me. Maybe there's something about you that is hindering the Lord from actually being able to work in the way that He wants to work. So when we are praying for these things and they don't happen, we don't blame somebody else. We don't look at the church. We don't look at the ministry and what they used to be. We don't look at all the saints doesn't do this. What we look at is, Lord, confess my faults. What's wrong with me? What's my problem? And when I begin to confess those faults and ask for healing, then it opens the conduit a little bit more that I'm able to get receive the power that the Lord would have me to be able to work through me and you about this particular thing. So I wonder if in this, and why did he say in James he was a man of like passions as you and I are? Because sometimes we feel like we can't attain to what Elijah attained to. We can't be the Paul or Moses or whoever you feel has been somebody, a spiritual giant. Why can't I be? If it's what God wants me to be, why can't I be? Why do I put these limitations on God and what he's able to do? Lord, help me. And so I believe in this. Elijah began to say, Lord, you told me this. What's the problem? And the Lord probably said, you know, you went to Ahab, you went to Obadiah and Jezebel and all them folks that are doing something. You need to, I want to talk to you about that. And he began to talk to Elijah about those things. And Elijah began to say, yes, Lord, making a confession to it about, Lord, yeah, I see that. I didn't quite, maybe, I don't know. Let me, humor me here. He was a man of like passion, and I would think that that's probably what I would do. But Lord, I was having a little problem with what they was doing to me. And I didn't want to be bothered with them anyway, and you sent me there, and you the one that told, and Elijah had to deal with all of those like passions like mine and like yours. And after he got them out of the way, then the Lord began, all right, now I can work. Now I can sin. And what did he do? He said, and now go and look the seventh time. And he felt, I believe he felt in his spirit, the Lord did this, Jesus did it. He went to the garden and he prayed three, not once, not twice, but three times. Daniel did it. We talked about that last Sunday, didn't we? Daniel prayed for 27 days and didn't see any benefit to his prayer, but he prayed and the Lord answered his prayer the first day. 21 days. Jesus went and prayed. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He went back and prayed. He went back three times. Then he said, well, you can sleep now. I got it. I know I have the victory now. I know I have what I need. I know I have prayed an effectual prayer. And I know I can go to the cross. And I can let them spit on me. I can let them nail me to a cross. And I can go through all of the things that I have to go through. All of the suffering that I have to go through. I feel it in my spirit. And I know it. And he was settled with it. All the things, let me use it this way, and understand me when I said all the things, the human nature that would have hindered him from doing the will of God, Jesus I'm talking about. That human part of him that would have hindered him. He got up on the cross and all these folks are saying these things and mocking him and all this thing, and all he could have done was popped his finger and 10,000 angels could have come. He could have done that. That would have been a temptation to me. I created you and you're doing what to me? But he knew that he did not want anything to hinder God's will. He said, not my will, but your will be done. I don't want to do what I want to do, Lord, Jesus said. He said, I want to do what you want to do. And there's something in me that is hindered, that seemed to be hindering that. My will is not completely submitted to yours, Jesus said. I want you to understand. I say that with all due respect. But it's true. It's what he said. He said, not my will. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he had to bring that flesh under control, just like you and I have to. There are times that we don't want to do what the Lord is telling us to do. The spirit is willing. In my head, I got it. In my heart, I don't. Spirit is willing. I'm willing to do it intellectually, Lord. But when I try to bring it to fruition, there's something about my spirit, my flesh that won't allow my spirit to conquer it. So you got to pray again. Pray again. That's effectual. And Jesus is making, if I can use it in this term, he's making a confession. Lord, the spirit is willing. The flesh is where the problem is. The Lord set that right. And Jesus got up from there, and he was able to go to the cross. Now, Elijah here, a man of like passions as you and me, prayed seven times. And at the seventh time, I believe that he felt something. I believe that he felt a witness. You know how the Lord gives you a witness? I've heard you. I've done it. Those things that I wanted you to deal with about yourself, you've dealt with them. To the level for today, and then maybe tomorrow I got something else. Or maybe tomorrow we'll go a little bit deeper in this, but today you got it. So he says, he goes out there, and what does he say? Well, I see a cloud in the sky about this big, the size of a man's fist. He gets up, he dusts himself off. He said, all right, go and tell him there's going to be abundance of rain. And with a little cloud this big. But it's... water is going to come out of that? Yes, water is going to come out of it. I believe. I don't even know how he saw it. But he saw it. And it was effectual prayer. So you don't have to pray anymore because I already see it. The Lord's given me a witness that it's done, and I'm thanking the Lord for it. Now you go and tell him to hurry up, because if Ahab doesn't hurry up, get his chariots and horses and run, it's going to be a bunch of rain. We ain't talking about just a little bit of sprinkles. We're talking about rain. Now, just think about this. Why did he tell you and me that he was a man of like passions as we are? Why did he say that in the scripture? He said it, I believe, because he wanted you and me to understand that we have the same power with God as Elijah did. That if we become students of prayer, and we come to the point of saying, Lord, I want you to move this mountain, what things soever we desire, when we pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I want to move this mountain. Lord, inspire faith. He says in one place, will I find faith? Will somebody just believe my word when I come? We are living in an age where people don't believe anymore. It's hard for us to believe that the Lord is able to do just very simple things for us. And if there is a crisis in faith, and I believe there is a crisis in praying. It used to be that you could call up several folks, and it used to be, you remember how it was that we didn't even have to pray because we knew that mama was going to pray for us. Or we knew that brothers, we always get the request to brother and sister so-and-so. And they're going to pray that thing through for you, and you just saying a few prayers, but we're in a famine. We're in a spiritual famine. We don't have those kinds of people in abundance anymore. They can be in an agreement. So what does that mean? So that means we just don't have it anymore. No, what it means is you and I must rise to the occasion. We must understand that it is not just for a select few, it's for every single person in this building. That we can come in an agreement and we can pray and we can seek the Lord and we can examine ourselves and we can be honest with ourselves. We can confess our own faults. We can remove all the hindrances, all the things that would hinder me from being able to get through to the Lord. We can deal with that first. And once I've dealt with that, then there is nothing that can stop me from having the power and the grace of God poured into my spirit. Into your spirit. And so the Lord wants us to realize and understand that his hand's not gotten short because it's 2012. That he's not as powerful in 2012 as he was in, you name the name, the year. What does he say? Jesus Christ is what? The same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. His power is the same. So there must be something wrong, Lord, with me. Help me, Lord. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? I don't want anything in my life to hinder my relationship with the Lord. I don't want anything in my life to hinder my prayer. They sing a song sometimes. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Something can hinder you. Just a little simple something can hinder me from heaven. Just a little bit something that I'm not willing to submit myself to, and in the same way, a little bit of something that I'm not willing to remove, deal with, ask the Lord to heal me from, whatever it is, that can hinder my prayers. How I treat you, how I treat my fellow man, my wife, my children, my boss, whoever it may be, how you treat those that are closest to you will affect whether or not your prayers are hindered. Lord, help us. You believe that? So, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to believe the Word of God. There's a reason that he says confess. Now, actually, that was the second half of the message that I started preaching last Sunday. And I'm not finished with it yet. So I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of prayer. There's something about prayer that I think we're missing. That it is an integral part of our lives. And I wonder if we don't fully understand it. And I wonder if there's more to it that the Lord wants us to get a hold of. I believe there is. But I think one of the things that the Lord today wants us to get a hold of is, and you want effectual, fervent prayer? You want your, when we pray for something, it should have an effect, is the point that I want to make. It should have an effect. It should have the effect on which we are seeking the Lord about. And the only way for that to happen is for us to remove the hindrances, deal with our own selves, not put it off on somebody else, but to say, Lord, it's me. I want to align my will with your will, and I want to seek you for all that you would have me to do, that my prayers won't be hindered, and that I'll be effective in the things of God. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be somebody that folks can come to and ask for prayer. I'm saying you. I'm talking you when I say me. I often think about this, and then we'll be done, Lord willing. You don't start when you get to be 50. You start where you are now. Whatever age you are is where you start now. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. I want to be faithful.